We're going to examine those issues of the authority of the believer. I have seen a lot of and heard a lot of sermons on the authority of the believer, and sometimes we misunderstand that, and so I wanted to spend some time with you first on the authority of God in our lives, where that we understand that God's the boss and that He runs the whole show, and that we're not in charge of Him. And when we have the authority of the believer, we don't have us in charge of God. And now we're looking at that position that we have in Christ Jesus. It becomes vital to us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus and who Christ Jesus is in us. Before we start, let us ask God's blessing to guide us in the direction that He wants us to go. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the privilege of serving You. We thank You for the fact that You have made so many provisions for us, and we just pray that You would open up our hearts and lives to the realization of Your greatness. Help us to understand all of those things that You've done for us. It's in You that we are able to do the things that we do. Without You, we can do nothing, but we can do all things through You who strengthen us. We just pray that You would open our hearts to the realization of what You have provided, and that we would take advantage of it, that we would cease to be defeated, that we would cease to be victims of the things that come after us, and that we would stand up in the attitudes of Christ and take that authority that You've placed in our lives, and help us to go against the works of the devil. Help us to go against those things that Satan is trying to do to the people around us. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that You would speak to our hearts and help us to gain that attitude of faith, to where that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the right to resist the works of Satan, and that we have the authority to tear down strongholds. And we just ask that You would help us to grasp those things through the power of Your Word and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. As we look at this issue, let us go to James chapter 4. Looking at verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves into God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I was watching a movie one time, and this guy was in his house, and the guy in the house had a shotgun, and his other guy was sneaking in the window, going to try to kill him, and the guy that was sneaking in the window had a knife. And the guy who was in the house said, that's just like you to bring a knife to a gunfight. And that's sometimes us. We bring human effort into a spiritual battle. And what we need to think about today is the authority of the believer is such that we have the ability to submit ourselves to God, and we spend a lot of time on that issue of submitting ourselves to God. Whether we've looked at it over and over again, submit ourselves to God, build an intimate relationship with Him, let your relationship with God become so dynamic and so powerful and so wonderful that God can use you in a mighty way. And then the next thing after that, our assignment is to resist the devil. That after submitting ourselves to God, it becomes our responsibility to start to resist the devil. Now, we have to deal with in the English all the time, and it's frustrating for me, but there's always this implied you, to where that doesn't always, the English language doesn't always say you resist the devil, it just says resist the devil. But it's talking to us. We know that this is implied. You resist the devil. In other words, we're going to be finding that as we beg God and plead with Him and say, God, help me, deliver me from these things, and constantly are bringing all of these issues before Him, saying, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, that submitting to God is an important thing. But there comes that point where we have to realize that we have submitted ourselves to God, and that He has placed authority in our lives, and that we as believers with that authority can resist the devil. And that God is not going to always take us to this place of saying to us, okay, I'm going to take care of this, and I'll take care of that, and I'll take care of this over here, and not your worry, not your problem, I'm the one responsible for it. God's not going to do that. God wants a relationship with you and I. God wants you and I to work together in doing the work that He's called us to do. And one of those things is for us to resist the devil and make him go. Now, the first thing that we have to understand is that we are in Christ Jesus, and that we are a different person because of the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. That something has happened in us that has changed. That God has done things in us that has moved us into a place where we are no longer the same. That our positions and power and opportunities and authority are not the same as they had been before we came to Christ. And that they had been as new believers. That we have to grow into a maturity in Christ to understand that God has changed elements of our lives and made us into a person who has authority in Christ Jesus. And the way it starts is it starts with Christ Jesus himself. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:20, which he, and is talking about the Father, exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. Now pay close attention to the heavenly realm. Remember that as words. Because later we're going to look at the same words again in chapter 2 of Ephesians. God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand. And we have to understand who we are in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realm. Then the next thing we need to know is who Jesus is in us. Ephesians 1:21 says, far above, and this is going on in continuation, far above all rule, Jesus is seated far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That's who Jesus is. That's who your Jesus is. And when the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, it's talking about far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given. Praise God. That has to be our thinking. That has to be our understanding. We have to be able to bring ourselves to the realization of the fact that we cannot come into a battle against Satan and move into the spirit realm. We cannot go there and use human effort. Now, we cannot think our way through these things. Well, I'm just feeling a little depressed today. I'm going to have to start thinking different thoughts. That's okay. But that is not going to take care of a lot of depressions that you and I experience, because they are, in fact, satanic attacks. Now, I know that from time to time, you can put yourself in a situation where you can say, well, I'm a little depressed because of my finances. That's not why you're depressed. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. If you're depressed, then you are not doing Philippians 4:8. You are not thinking on those things that the Bible is asking you to think about. You are not allowing the Word of God to be powerful. And it's you. It's you suffering. It's you finding yourself being beaten down and trodden underfoot of the satanic realm. It's you that is allowing those things to go through your life and to damage and to hurt you and to drag you on for month after month after month after month. You have to understand that it's you. It's not us going and begging and pleading and seeking God and saying, God, help me, God, help me. That all that is good. Submitting yourself to God is the first part of it. But if you stay there in the submission part of it, saying, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, and you don't stand up and take authority over the circumstances of your life, if you don't stand up and speak out against the satanic realm and say, this is not going to go on. I'm not going to continue to allow you to trample me. But what we feel like sometimes is we feel like we're a victim. We feel like we don't have any choice. We feel like, well, we just have to wait this thing out. And that's human effort. The Bible says, resist the devil. Now, I know that some of you are waiting for some guy to come by in a red tight suit and horns and smell like sulfur with a trident in his hand, and then you're going to resist the devil. And it'd be nice if Satan would come to us like that, come in red tights and stand in front of us and say, "Hi, I'm the devil, and I've come here to tempt you." It'd be nice if we could see him. But you see, you and I are like Job. All of a sudden one day, some marauders came by and killed his kids. Some fire came out of heaven and destroyed his stuff. Some wind came by and blew down the house that people were living in. And servants died. And his stuff was gone. Now, I know that all Job saw was just circumstances. And say, man, that's a tremendous run of bad luck. Now, I want you to listen to this statement of Job's. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a great statement, except for the fact that it's theologically wrong. Other than that, it's a great statement. The Lord gave, but the Lord did not take away. Satan took away. The Bible makes it clear that Satan's the one that stripped him of all of those things. And a lot of times that's the way we are. Well, praise God. We just have to be thankful for the good things, and we have to be thankful for the bad things. Sometimes when we get busy making a pact with God, sometimes when you get to that place where we're submitting ourselves and submitting ourselves and submitting ourselves to God, we don't get to that place where we understand where the line is drawn. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Where we're saying, well, is this God or is this Satan? We don't want to resist God, do we? We don't want to submit ourselves to Satan, do we? Our job is to submit ourselves to God, supposing that we know which one is doing this to us, submit ourselves to God, and then on the other hand, to be sure that when it's the devil, we resist him. Isn't that sometimes the dilemma? Well, is this God's will for my life? Well, maybe God's taking this away from me. Maybe God's doing this to me. Maybe God's trying to teach me something. And so we find ourselves submitting to something that we're not sure is God, but we're submitting to it just in case it might be God. And that's the reason why we're building a relationship with God, so that we will know what God's will is for our lives. Amen? We want a relationship with Him so we can go to Him and say, God, is this you? Because if it's not, Satan's in trouble. Amen? And that's the attitude. Yes, I'll submit to God. Sure, whatever God wants. He's the boss. I want to acknowledge His sovereignty. But I do not want to acknowledge the sovereignty of Satan. He doesn't have a right in my life. And I'm not going to put up with him. Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up with Christ. Why? Why did he raise us up with Christ? Because he wants you to be able to resist the devil. He wants you to learn how to get involved in spiritual warfare. He wants you to understand who you are in Christ. He wants you to understand what your job is, and he wants you to understand the authority of the believer. He wants you to have a good time going out and defeating the enemy and making him flee from you. He wants you to demonstrate what Christian life is all about. Can you understand that if we as Christians are constantly being defeated, and I've heard this stated on many different occasions, that things don't get better when you become a Christian, things get worse. And I thought, oh, sorry about your life. I've heard ministers say things don't get better when you come to Christ. They get worse. Well, I feel sorry for the way they're living their lives, but my life is a lot better than it was before. And when I was in sin, my life wasn't very good. Thank you. Got some more that have had that same experience. God has changed my life. Things are totally, drastically different. I don't know of anyone who would want to buy a car if it was going to make their life worse. Say, you should buy this house. This one's going to really make you mad. Eat this food. It'll make you sick. This is the good news. This is the good news. The good news is that all of your life you've been a victim. And all of a sudden you've become a victor. This is the good news. This is the moment in which we stand up and say, praise God, things have changed. I am no longer laying around waiting for something good to happen to me. I'm no longer waiting around for those things to change and get better. I am now actively taking these things as issues. And I'm grabbing the bull by the horns and I'm dealing with those things that are my enemy. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm. There's those same words again. In Christ Jesus. Praise God. Then it goes on to say, and I just couldn't stand it any longer. That applied to you. I couldn't handle it. I'm sorry, but I put it in brackets so you know it was my words in there. But I just had to put the word you in there. I couldn't. It was just beyond my ability to just let that slide by. So I typed it in. I apologize for it. I added words to the Bible, but I think I am safe in doing it. Finally, you. It just had to be in there, okay? But I put it in brackets. Those are my words. But it's an implied you. Be strong in the Lord in His mighty power. Isn't that awesome? This is exciting, saints. This is the place where all of a sudden we begin to realize I've been putting up with too much. I've been allowing too many things just to come by and mess up my life. I've been allowing Satan to make havoc in the circumstances of me and my family and my community and my church, and I am sick of it. Don't you think that's a part of being strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? Is just being sick of it? Don't you? To get this resolve in your heart, I'm not putting up with this anymore. We've had financial difficulties long enough. We've had relational difficulties long enough. We've had marital difficulties long enough. Come here, spouse. Let's join together in the name of Jesus Christ. And if two or three gather together in Jesus' name, He'll be in the midst of them. And whatever's asked on earth will be done in heaven. Let's get together. Let's team up against Him. And let's go out and win this thing. Amen. And so a husband and a wife, the family all get together, hold hands, and say, take authority over Satan and say, get out. Now, doesn't that feel good? Victim doesn't feel good. When is this going to be over? When are we going to finally see light at the end of the tunnel? And finally you see light at the end of the tunnel, and it was a train. It hurts to lay around wondering. It hurts to lay around and not have any handles on the circumstances of your life. It hurts to be a victim. It hurts to lay there with no hope, no help, no possibilities. It hurts to lay there and wonder, when is this all going to be over? Why is this happening to me? It hurts to be in those situations where you can't take authority over circumstances that are coming your way, where you can't be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It hurts when you can't stand up in the authority of Jesus Christ and say, that's enough. It hurts. It discourages Christians. It frustrates them. It makes them feel defeated. It causes them to give up. It causes them to lose hope. It causes them to get into despair. It keeps them from preaching the good news because they're not experiencing the good news in their own lives. They're not experiencing victories in their own circumstances, and so they don't have anything to share. If there's no good news in your life, then there's no good news in your message. You cannot give what you do not have. And God is saying to you today, be strong in me. God is saying to you today, be powerful in me. Praise God. This is a lot more exciting than you're letting on that it is. Then it goes on to say in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole or full armor of God so that you. It's in there this time. I didn't write that one in. Put on. Who? Implied you. Put on. Who? You. Now let's change it. Put on. Me. Me put on. Can you say it? Me? I'm putting on the full armor of God so that I can take my stand against the devil's schemes. Is this a personal commitment? You're going to feel so much better when you move into the realm of the authority of the believer. You're going to feel so much better about sharing Jesus with your friends when you move into the authority of the believer. You're going to feel so much better when you come before God and your relationship with Him is clean because God's doing His job and you're doing yours. But you see, sometimes we don't know what our job is. And so we find ourselves begging and pleading and going before Him and saying, oh God, you've got to do something. And God's saying, you got to do something. God, I can't. Yes, you can. God, I can't. Yes, you can. And His word comes to us and says, okay, here's how. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Protection comes from putting the whole armor of God on. That's when you get protected from the satanic. Have you ever had something happen to you to where that you were tempted by Satan and it stabbed you in the breastplate of righteousness and it has been seething and seething and seething all the rest of the days of your life where you're tempted, you find yourself being tempted by it all the time? To where that the fiery darts of Satan came against you and it just hit right into your heart and you found yourself with a door open that you could not close and things were just coming at you and at you and at you and that fiery dart of Satan, that fiery arrow of Satan just kept burning and burning and burning in your chest. To where that some people are run up a credit card so high they can't pay the bill. To where that some people are involved in alcohol and drugs. Where other people are involved in pornography and all sorts of sexual addictions. Where other people are involved in anger and frustrations and hatreds and all sorts of gossip and striving. And they're addicted. And it just seethes and seethes and seethes. And they say, what's going to happen to me? What's happening to me? Why am I like this? Why do I do these things? And we cry out and we cry out and we cry out to God. You ever had any of those arrows stab you in the chest, in the breastplate of righteousness? Even though you've been made the righteousness of God, the flaming arrows of Satan are just burning and burning inside here, and you're struggling day in and day out because of them? You ever had that? Ever wondered why that's there? It's because of the shield of faith. The Bible says to take the shield of faith and put it in front of the breastplate of righteousness. Because it does what? Quenches the fiery darts of the devil. Quenches the fiery arrows of Satan. And so if you're standing here like this with your shield of faith out here, and Satan's pelting you with all sorts of temptations, and you're not mixing those elements with faith and saying, no! I believe in Christ Jesus. I believe in His power. I believe in the authority that He has placed in my life. And you take that protective shield of faith that quenches those temptations that come your way. Then it hits that shield of faith and it doesn't get through to your breastplate of righteousness. Is that exciting or what? This is revolutionary. This is the truth that set us free, isn't it? With all of a sudden, we're not standing and saying, set me free, set me free, set me free, set me free. To where that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and we throw our shield of faith out in front of the issues, and we resist the devil with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we do like Jesus does. It is written. Praise God. Praise God. Now the Bible says that we just read in James 4:7, tells us to submit to God. And what this saying is that when we put on the whole armor of God for protection, that's submitting to God. This becomes our moment of submission. And as you read these passages of Scripture, as it goes on down in Ephesians chapter 6, as you read those, which we won't be able to cover today, as we're reading those passages, we start to go over those elements of what these individual parts of the whole armor of God are. We start to realize that this is us submitting ourselves to Christ. That He's our salvation, He's our truth, He's our righteousness, He's all of these things. Even the sword itself, the Bible says in Revelation that His name is called the Word of God. That there is absolutely nothing about the whole armor of God that isn't Christ. So we put on, the Bible says, put on Christ. And when we do, we submit to Him. Then the next issue is position. Our resistance against Satan is not to attack. We do not have to attack him. It doesn't say run forward. It doesn't say charge. It says instead so that you can take your stand. Why? Because it's all been paid for already. It's yours. It's been yours. It's been in the bank for as long as you can remember. It's been there waiting on us to use it. But the thing is that we aren't standing. We retreat. We give in. We back up. We yield. We let Him have His way. We don't stand there and say, this is my territory. Get off. You're on my property. Bug off. Stand. You don't have to go anywhere. You're on it. You are already more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You don't have to become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You're already strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I just wish I had that strength that some of the other Christians have. Faith. Thank you, God, for giving me the power that You have given me. Faith. The just shall live by faith. Every day, all the time, the just shall live by faith. We have to believe. Without faith, we went through this regularly for a whole series of, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently and persistently seek after Him. So what do? Stand. What's stand? Believe. What's believe? Hold your position. Know that you have the territory. Know that these are your rights. These are your privileges. These have been bought for, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He paid for them in a heavy price, didn't He? It cost Him far beyond anything we can imagine. So then He's asking us to stand, and that's our resistance. What's wrong with your finance? What's wrong with your emotions? The Bible says, don't give place to the devil. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I am not going to allow this to exist in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take authority over those things that are trying to destroy us. Now, Jesus is standing on the side of a boat. The disciples have already declared, in their great element of faith, they've already declared, we're going down. Did you know that just before they got in the boat, Jesus said, let us go over? And then when they got halfway over there, they said, we're going down. Did you know that Jesus said they were going to go over? And did you know that when Jesus said, let's go over, you can't go under? You have to go over when Jesus said, go over. So when Jesus said, let's go over, that was the word, wasn't it? And we have a lot of this in our Bible, don't we? We have a lot of this, don't we? We have a lot of these promises of God. We have a lot of these statements of God that say, you are, you have. If you believe that you have, it will be done for you. If you believe you're going to get, it won't. Does that make sense? Now this is a biggie. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Who's the last person you argued with? Right. Yourself, for one. Were they flesh and blood when you argued with them? Who's the last person you had a conflict with? Flesh and blood. Have you ever gossiped against someone at work that you were mad at? Flesh and blood. Our battle is not against people. Amen? Our battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm where we are sitting in Christ Jesus. Now, when we come to a spiritual battle with human effort, it's like coming to a gunfight with a knife, isn't it? We're coming unprepared. We're trying to reason our way through things. Well, if we sell this, and if we give away that, and if we move this over, and we quit having that, we can probably make it through this financial onslaught. Well, if you will just start getting along with me, we will quit having these fights. And we try to reason our way through the problems of life because we don't acknowledge the fact that there's a devil. We don't acknowledge the fact that we have an enemy in the spirit realm. We don't acknowledge the fact that we are fighting against Satan and not against our boss who keeps on driving us nuts. That this is not a physical issue, this is a spiritual issue. That regardless of what the problem is, it's a spiritual problem. And that the best way to handle our spiritual problems is with spiritual tools. And that what the Bible is asking us to do is to recognize the fact that we are not supposed to hit people. We are not supposed to swear at people. We are not supposed to run over people. We are not supposed to make people mad. We're not supposed to argue with them because they're not our enemy and they're not our problem. And when we make them our problem, then we are fighting against flesh and blood. So where do wars come from? Where do the conflicts that we have with the people around us come from? It comes from the misunderstanding that we do not fight against flesh and blood. They made me mad. No, they didn't. You made yourself mad. They're going to pay. No, they aren't. Who is your enemy? Satan. Satan's your enemy. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This has to be something that we don't walk out the door of this church without settling in our own hearts. Because you know what's going to happen. We're going to be like Job. And we're going to see all of the circumstances of life. We're going to see our boils all over our body. And our kids are damaged and hurt. And all sorts of wealth is falling away from us. And we're going to go back to trying to solve it mentally. Today where you stand, you need to commit to God and say, God, I want the circumstances of my life to be spiritual from now on. I'm asking you to help me not to handle things with human reasoning. Right where you stand, just talk to God and tell him that you want to make this a spiritual issue. That you want to start dealing with your life according to the Word of God. That you want to start handling your problems according to the promises of God. Talk to him right where you are. Just tell him. Because what can happen to you is you can walk out of this building and you can think, well, I've got to start doing that better. And what you just did is you made a human effort. You just made a self-commitment. You just thought, man, I've got to start thinking spiritual more. I've got to start thinking spiritually, spiritual things better. I've made up my mind. I'm going to start thinking according to the Word of God. And in every bit of that is human effort. The Bible says, ask, seek, knock. You don't have, the Bible says, you do not have because you did not ask God. Ask Him right where you are, right now. God, help me to think spiritual. Help me to approach my personal problems with spiritual thoughts. Help me to start dealing with my circumstances on a spiritual level. Help me to understand that people, that flesh and blood, is not my problem. And as you pray, God will hear and answer your prayers. He will help you to have a life change right here, right now.